Here. We started last. I do want to say, how many of you enjoyed Sunday? You enjoyed, wasn't he a great man of God, Dr. Avanzini? Dr. Avanzini, what he preached on Sunday was very elementary. He actually asked to come back. So, no, you need to know what that means. That's huge. Let's do it the Texas way. There's ooge. You know, they eliminate the H. So it's really big for him to come, and he's asked to return. I don't know. We haven't set up any dates or anything. Very excited about him coming. What you want to do is you want to make sure you're here when he speaks on seed. It's like a wow. Remember we talked about the fivefold gifts? You can preach these topics, and we actually touched it last week. You know, we were into tithing last week in this class. But what he would deposit as a teacher, he would just undo these nuggets that are much, much deeper, much more exhilarating, even on tithing. For me, I've been preaching tithing for 30 years and living tithing since I was a baby. That was my mom and dad taught me right out of the gate, if you got a dollar, it's a dime. And what was really interesting, I had never seen from Genesis to the Revelation. I had never seen that in all the years of ministry. So 30 years of ministry, I was able to learn a bunch of stuff even on Sunday myself. So it was great. Okay, so last week we covered tithing. Does anybody have a question on tithing? It was a great one on everybody who made the commitments on Sundays. Sunday, we had actually double the amount of people that tithe on a regular giving Sunday. Double the amount of envelopes came in. So we have double the amount of commitments. So I'm very excited about Sunday's offering. Just to be able to see what we can do with the things of the Spirit and be able to help more people. That's what I love the most about what you do as a church. The amount of people you help is astronomical. And just to give you one idea, too, of why this is necessary, we just had a new law. I don't know, Jay, did you see that new law that came down? I don't know if it affects you or not. No, you don't do school buses. The New York State law just changed in New York State. And it was an immediate reaction where now all of our buses, before when we had a church bus, you had to take off all the red lights, you had to take off all the arms, you had to get it inspected, but it wasn't DOT. Now we are demanded all the lights. We have to have school buses. We can't have like church buses anymore. We've got to have school buses. Our great governor has now determined that we have to have lights on all the buses, arms on all the buses, DOT inspection every 6 months. So everything has changed for our bus ministry. So, you know, of all these folks that are now declaring they're going to tithe, that's going to enable us to make sure that we can do all these changes that are necessary. So it's very exciting for me as your pastor. Okay, I want to remind you there are three types of giving. Everybody say three.
Three.
Number one is tithe. Everybody say tithe. Tithe means?
Tenth.
Very good. So a tithe. And then you have alms. Everybody say alms. Alms. That's a pretty name, isn't it? And then you have one called seed. So you have tithes, alms, and seed. One person said to me, he said, Pastor, I don't believe in the tithe any longer. I believe that you can just give it wherever you want and do whatever you want with it. And I chuckled. So he said to me, the tithe, you church folks have made it more than it's supposed to be. And I said, well, you know, I really think the tithe is like 33.5%. And he said, you're crazy. So I said, I called the local rabbi down in Elmira. And I said, how much is the tithe in the law? Because remember, we have Melchizedek, the 10% tithe that was done. But then the law came into effect and the law incorporated the tithe. And then there were things added to the tithe to deal with social stuff. And the rabbi confirmed that if you take all the different tithes in the law, it actually comes out to over 33.5%. So that was what the average Jew paid during the time of the law. But of course, the law was after the initial 10%. So of course, we go to what the tithe is according to the Word of God. But it was very interesting. I love hearing people's remarks against tithing. And it always makes me chuckle, mainly because you can say whatever you want, but it's really so absolutely simple in the Scripture. So let's cover alms now. Alms are very powerful because alms are giving down. Okay, I wanted you to see this. And if I could have a young lady come over here, please. Yeah, that's you. Okay? Tithe is you're giving it to the Lord. Correct? You're sharing in the wealth with the Lord. Alms are this. Ready? Turn around. I'm not sure if I'm in the camera zone or not. Am I from here? Alms are this. Let me help you up. Okay? So, come back down. When you're tithing, you're giving to the Lord. When you're giving an alm, let me help you up. You're giving to help somebody up. Now let's get into what the scripture says about alms. But I want you to see that word picture because it's very important that you're understanding that tithe and alms are a different type of offering. They're a different type of giving. Many people misunderstand them and they try to coagulate them together, and they're not. They're a totally different type of giving, and you need to understand it because there's different blessings with such. So tithing, we know, the Bible says, opens the windows of heaven. That's what it says in Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 10. It also affects your relationship with the Lord. So when you tithe, I love that factor, how he really explained the open heaven. Now, when you're a tither, you open the heavens. So there is nothing with nothing holding back your prayers and your need and your requests. But alms are totally different. It's a totally different kind of giving. So let's read it. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, but to be seen by them. So it's not that people can't see you do them, but don't show them off to them. Otherwise, you have your reward from your Father in heaven. So the Bible's saying here, if you give an alms to help somebody, a charitable deed, helping them up. Now watch now. That's why I want you to see that word picture. An alms is reaching down. You understand? An alms is reaching down. And the Bible says, we're going to read on a little bit further, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So you're reaching down to somebody that needs help. Let's give some examples. Let's just say somebody's house burns. They have no clothes. You buy them clothes. That's an alms. You find somebody that needs food. That's an alms. You find somebody that's struggling with shoes. That's an alms. Find somebody not able to make their house payment. That is an alms. That is not a tithe, because tithe goes to the storehouse. But an alms is a charitable deed given to somebody that is less fortunate than you are, or simply in need. It is giving down. Now that's powerful, because when you understand what this means, is it positions you for a special blessing from the Lord. Because God says you can't outgive him. You can't outgive God. So whenever God gives us directions on how to give, what that does is he's showing us, if you do it my way, I will give you a blessing, because that's what I love to do. Now remember, the Bible makes that declaration very simply: give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall. This is very important. Give and it shall be given unto you. So if you don't give, it won't be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Press down. Come on. And run it over. Shall men give to your bosom. This is important, because there is no printing press in heaven. Does everybody know that yet? There are no money trees. But what God does by nature is God loves to increase our capacity by giving us more than we need. Now remember, true prosperity is not having a Lamborghini. It's not having, all this stuff on earth. True prosperity is the ability to give to every person that has a need. It's the ability to have excess. Now that's very relative, because to one person, excess might be $15 an hour. To another, excess might be $50 an hour. To another person, it might be $100 an hour. To excess is totally different. And it also means something totally different when you're talking about different nations. You know, in Africa, excess might be that you have 8 goats rather than just 1 goat. Down in Central America, I gave you the example last week. It would mean that you have double the size of fruit and vegetables rather than normal size. So capacity is everything, and increase in how God blesses us is relative to where you're at. Very important. Everybody in the prosperity movement, where it went off, it was saying that everybody needed $1 million. Everybody had to have a $10 million house. That's prosperity. That's not prosperity at all. Prosperity is having more than enough so that whenever you see a need, you have the capacity to be able to meet that need. That's true prosperity. And it gets right down to alms, and it says this: therefore, do not do your charitable deed. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they have their glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. Everybody go, shh. Secret, that your Father who sees in secret will himself. Now, I love that part. Then the Father and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So the Bible says if you give an alms, you reach down and pull somebody up. You do a charitable giving where you expect nothing in return. When you give an alms, you're expecting nothing in return. You're not sitting down. It's not like planting a seed. We'll get into that one next. But what you're doing is you're saying, listen, you need help. Here's $50. Let me help you. The Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And when you give that $50, what happens is what you do in secret, the Father will reward you openly. Now, that's very powerful, because when you recognize it's not a seed, the reward from God can be many different things. There was a man, he was telling me a story about his mother. And his mother, he was a preacher, and I'm just make sure I got the story correct. He was a preacher, and he was talking about alms and about seed. And a man came up to him and says, you're a liar. He says, you're a liar. He says, that doesn't work. He said, I can prove it. My mother was the most charitable, loving woman you'd ever see in your life. In fact, when anybody was ever in the hospital, she would always bake things and bring them into the hospital so that they could have food beside hospital food. And when somebody was a shut-in, she always made them an Afghan. Always. And so the preacher stopped and said, well, you know, the Bible says that God will reward you openly if you do a charitable deed, which is giving down, which that's what that person was doing. He said, my mother's in a retirement home now, not even a real nice one. So you see, that doesn't work. And he said, let me ask you a few questions. He said, does anybody ever sneak food into your mother? And he goes, yeah, the doctors are pretty ticked off, man, because they can't keep her on a good diet. I mean, she's getting kind of chunky at that home. And he says, now, does anybody ever make, like, Afghans for your mother? Well, yeah. He said, they're stacked in the closet. There are so many of them. See, his expectation was that God was going to make her a millionaire because she was giving an alms. But God, when you're given alms, God can do it in many different ways. He'll reward you openly, which means this. It might be that your family is more cohesive. It might mean that you have a greater passion in your heart for the Lord than you've ever had before. It might mean that your car gets healed. It might mean that your dog is healthy. It might mean that all of a sudden you walk out and you've won the megabucks. No, I'm just kidding. Grampy Al, I'm just kidding. So you see, when you give an alms, the expectation of return is different than when you do a seed. What is tithing? Tithing is like plowing the ground. Tithing is the preparation for the next opportunities. It is opening those windows of heaven so that God can pour out a blessing you cannot contain. But why does he pour it out? Remember, if God can get it through you, God can get it to you. So the necessity is being an open vessel to where God can give alms. Now, you are such an amazing people. When we do Christmas stuff for these children, you folks always step up to the plate. Man, these kids had presents and gifts that they had never had before. They had brand new shoes. They had brand new hats. We had some of the Harley guys do some stuff down at the Harley shop. And you know, they had Harley shoes in there. They had Harley hats in there. Glory to Jesus. I wanted to be one of the children. And so it was really cool just seeing all the blessings that come from alms. So alms, the Greek word, actually means mercy, charity, or donation to the poor. That's literally what the Greek word is for that. So an alms is giving down. The blessings of God come in different ways, as I was saying, might come with divine favor, a spiritual blessing. The fact is that when you give an alms, basically, you just say, Father, I'm giving it. I'm not expecting anything in return. And you know that you can't outgive God, and he will bless you in whatever dimension that he knows that will best minister to your life. Now, giving to those in need is our responsibility as a body. You know, we've had a big social shift. My wife, actually, when she was in college, she was taking social services. And actually, right in their books, it says that the reason that they had to start the social service system was because the church stopped doing its job. It's right in secular textbook. The church used to take care of people. The church used to take care of, you know, the elderly and that were true widows. Everybody knows what a true widow is, right? A true widow, or mainly true widow, is somebody that has to be in their 60s and doesn't have any children. The Bible says if you're in your 60s and you have children, it's your children's job to take care of you. Amen. So we are responsible. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 15:7-11, if there's any among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand up to your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficiency for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing. We also see this in the book of James, chapter 2, 15-17. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Jesus made the statement himself in Matthew 25:34-40. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So giving to the poor is something that God has asked us to do. And the great part about it, when we're tithers and we're following the principles of the Lord, we'll always have that excess. So when you see somebody in need, it's not like you got to go poor yourself to help them, but you'll have excess in your pocket to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. That is so powerful and needed. Yes. Yes.
If somebody gives you an arm and they're in a position to help others.
Yes. Actually, so the question is if somebody's in need and they give you an alms, and yet they have more than enough to help other people, correct? Is it wrong? They're in the position. Is it wrong for you to give them alms so that they can? No, absolutely. That is feeding. That is feeding the help. So you're feeding people to help people. And you know the great part about God is, he doesn't want anybody wounded. He doesn't want anybody hungry. He doesn't want anybody destitute. He doesn't want anybody struggling. You know, we have a whole barn out there. I don't know if you know that or not. If you've never worked with the Matthew 25 crew, I would encourage you to take a Wednesday. Now, this Wednesday, they're off. They're taking off for training. But the next Wednesday, I would strongly encourage everyone who has never participated on a Wednesday night just to come once. Just come once. Just come once and help. Do whatever you can to be there. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that you'll start falling in love with these people that are in need. Some of their greatest needs isn't their shoes. Some of their greatest needs is they've not had a hug in a week, not been told that they're important, not been told that they're loved. And you know what will happen is you're starting to give these alms, even if it's not money, it's your love. And you'll find that if you give love, man, you'll always get love. I mean, it's so powerful to realize the influence that we have. And God has called us to touch these folks, to touch people that are in less position than we are. And the Lord, listen, we all know somebody who's living less than you are. There's always somebody. And you can always help them. Now, somebody said to me, and it's true. You know, we at this church, what we do is when somebody calls the church, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but we probably get, probably 3 to 5 calls a week minimum. In fact, there was this one lady, she was awesome. She was one of the best scammers I've ever heard. And she called every church and asked them for $25. So there's 120 churches in the area. She was calling like 6 or 7 a week. You know, she was pacing herself. And so she would get $25 because most churches will just give you $25. You know, give you $25. And she was like, that's tax-free, man. She was doing really, really, really good. And then the churches all caught on. We started talking amongst, we found this lady, you know, she was taking advantage. But, you know, there are people out there that are scammers. My favorite, I have 2 favorite scam stories. One time I was at my church in Newfield, and I got a phone call, and this guy said to me, man, Pastor, you know, my mother died, and she lives in, I think it was Tennessee, and, you know, it's $78 for the bus ticket, and I'm just wondering, is there any way possible you could give me the $78 so that I could buy the bus ticket? You know, she's died, and I need to make it for the funeral. And I'm saying, you know, where do you live? And he said, Groton. And, you know, I have a friend up there that I pick on a lot. And I said, well, you know, you're really far from me. You're like 30 miles from me. So why don't you call my pastor friend? And here's his cell phone number. You know, call him personally. Tell him I sent you. And I know he'll give you the $78. Just had to turn the screw a little. So he calls me up later. He goes, thanks. But 2 weeks later, I get a call. Hi, Pastor. You know, I'm hoping you can help me. You know, my mother died and she lives in Tennessee. And, you know, it's only $78 for the bus ticket. And I want to make it for her funeral. Is there any way you could help me? I said, dude, you need to start marking off your, like, yellow pages because you called me 2 weeks ago. Have a good day, Flu. I said, she must stink pretty bad about now. My other favorite one was this guy. He would call monthly and say, you know, Pastor, you know, we're on food stamps and we run out of food and, you know, we're really hungry. Is there any way you can help us? And we did. We helped them like twice. We never give cash in this church for people that ask for help. We actually will go out and buy the food and deliver it because usually they're trying to get cigarettes or booze or whatever. And so this guy, you know, we helped him a few weeks. And then he called me one day and he says, is this Pastor? I said, yes. He says, you know, I need your help. I says, oh, okay, you know, what's going on? He goes, you know, hold on. I got to put you on hold. Someone's calling. He put me on call waiting. Gets back on the phone. He goes, hey, honey, turn the TV down. They got cable. And he says, listen, I need you to move me. If I don't move by this weekend, then I'm going to lose all the stuff that I have. So when are you going to send trucks? Wow. I said, well, we're not sending trucks. He said, what do you mean? He says, you got to help me. I says, no. I said, why don't you save money and get rid of call waiting and, you know, get rid of your cable TV. That will help you pay for things. And he goes, go to hell. Clink. It was the best, man. He told the pastor to go to hell. It was so funny. About 2 months later, I pick up the phone and it's the same dude. He doesn't know I recognize his voice. He goes, man, you know, we're on food stamps and, you know, we're hurting real bad. And I says, dude, aren't you the one who told me to go to hell? Oh, I would never tell a preacher to go to hell. So funny. But, you know, it's you know, we've all at some point in time been taken advantage of, but you got to keep your heart pure because the Holy Spirit will point you to people. You know what's really cool about alms is sometimes you'll come to church, and this is the neat part. So many of us come to church to receive, but we actually should be coming to church to give. You know, you can come and you can have $5. In fact, I'm going to give you some homework right now. Everybody needs $5 in your pocket this week, and I want you to give away $5 this week. I don't want you to just walk up to somebody. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit throughout the week who to give the $5 to. You might be saying that's not a lot of money, but the fact is you just don't know what that is to somebody. $5. It might be just them have just prayed and say, God, I need your help. And by giving them $5, they now know God heard their prayer. So I want you to give an alm this week, just $5, $5 out of your pocket. That's one cup of coffee, one latte at Starbucks. They've raised their prices. It's horrible. Okay? So here we go. I know. So here we go. Blessing others is a character and nature of our God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart to him does not have the love of God abiding in him. Ooh, that's rough, isn't it? The Bible says if you have the ability to help somebody, but you don't, do you really have the love of God in your heart? Because God loves to help people. And this is the nature that we need to have. Our God by nature is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. God by nature is a giver. So what's happened in America, we've had this thing happen in America where 50 years ago you knew who your neighbors were, and if they needed a cup of sugar, they'd come knock on your house. Nowadays, they come knock on your house, you shoot them. You know, you don't know your neighbors. You know, you don't know who they are. There's no real relationship nowadays. We've created a closed relationship. And it's even the same within the church world. You know, people come in on Sunday morning, they maybe shake two hands. It's time for meet and greet, and they sit down. Then they leave. They leave the church on a Sunday morning. They don't know anybody still, and they've been here a decade. You know, we've created a closed community. But the heart of God is that we're an open community to where we truly love people. And loving people means that sometimes they're in need. I remember there was a young lady one day I was up on the pulpit, and the Holy Spirit said, go give this young lady $20. I came down off the pulpit, and I gave her $20 and told her I loved her. I had no clue, but she had just prayed. She had used her last bit of her gas to come to church, and she said to me, my car wouldn't have made it home. And she had just prayed, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I came faithful to your house. Can you help me? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me up there, came down, handed her $20, put gas in her car, and she was able to run that whole week on $20. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. Just be sensitive to the alms. Be sensitive to helping somebody that's less fortunate than you are, because God wants to use you. God wants you. It's his very nature. Blessing others pleases God. Acts chapter 10, verse 4. And when he observed, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before the Lord. You know, just as the tithe opens the window of heaven, when you give an alm, it pleases God. I don't know about you, but you know, if you're religious, then you don't care if you please God. But if your relationship, you're in a relationship, I want to please God. I want my daddy happy with me. I want my father to be pleased with the life that he's given me. I want him to look down and go, that's my boy. You know, I want that. And the Bible says when you give an alm, it pleases God. When this man gave an alm, the Bible says that it pleased the Lord, that the Lord was actually watching. Now, he didn't give an alm right there, but he had given alms, and the Lord saw them. God marks your giving. No, you need to know that. God marks your giving. I can prove this to you. If you remember, there's a story, and we're going to get into that verse a little bit later, about the woman who gave two pence and the man who gave the wad. How do you know that that's what was given? Because Jesus was looking in the offering plate. God sees. God watches. Because giving is not a matter of what you have in your pocket. Giving is a matter of your heart. It's all a matter of the heart. Everything to do with God in the New Testament, it's all heart. I don't know about you, but it's very easy to have a poverty mentality. Take care of yourself first. My father always taught me that. When I was in Bible school, I got $30 a month. Now, back in those days, it still wasn't a lot of money. $30 a month, it was $15 a month to do laundry. And then if I wanted any extra food, like maybe a Saks' pizza every once in a while, that was like $5 for a whole pizza. You know, I would have a little extra money. And I remember a missionary came in, stinking missionaries, man. Missionary came into town. He says, you know, we're down in Haiti and these people are dying. You know, they're literally, the children are eating out of the garbage dumps and they defecate in the streets. The sewers are open sewers that go along the sides of the roads. I mean, he's showing us pictures. It's real. I know it's real. It's still happening today, by the way. That hasn't really changed. And he says, all's we need for you to sponsor one child. $15 a month. We'll feed that child. We'll educate that child. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, yes, give this alm. That left me $15 a month. I did my laundry in the sink and hung it. No, I didn't eat pizza. And here I was, you know, I gave half of my monthly income. But you know, I never went without. God always provided. I remember I wanted a new Bible and I started praying and never told anybody. And all of a sudden somebody came and said, you know, I just really felt out of the Lord to give you a Bible. You don't mind, do you? I said, no. He said, whatever one you want to order, CBD back in those days, whatever one you want to order, just tell me and we'll order it. And then I needed a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. If you've never seen that book, it's like this thick and this big. You hit somebody in the head with it, they die. And he said to me, I was praying for one, and all of a sudden, this guy came up and he goes, you know, I just really feel led of the Lord to give you $15. And that's what it cost, $15 for that book. And I was able to buy that book. I got a Bible. I got everything. I never went without. Because when you understand that your heart issue is about your giving, it's not about what you have in your pocket. It's not even about amounts, except for the tithe that's designated. But when you give an alms, it's all a matter of the heart. And I really want to challenge you to start watching where people are and where their hearts are and be attentive to other people. Be attentive. On a Sunday morning, you just don't know who walks through these doors. You don't know that, and we've had it, you don't know that somebody who walks in these doors, they're planning on killing themselves right after service. It's happened. It's happened. This is the last time they're coming to church ever in their life. They made a decision. I'm never coming back to God's house again if God doesn't touch me or speak to me. You just don't know how powerful you are. And I really challenge you to be open to the alms. And it's not about amount. Sometimes it's just simple love. Walking up to somebody and say, you know what? I just want you to know I love you and appreciate you. I mean, you know how few people hear that a week? How many people in a whole week don't ever hear, I love you? You'd be blown away. When you start talking to these kids, like if you come on a Wednesday, how many of these kids have never heard even from their parent that I love you? I knew this one kid, he was told by his parents, you're the worst thing that ever happened to our lives, and I wish you were dead. It will amaze you how powerful you are with your alms. It will change a person's life. It changes a life. Because you know what it shows them? God knows me. God cares for me. God used you to love me. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall. Amen. So you have your first one, which is a tithe. Everybody say tithe. 10%. Opens heaven. Amen. Number two is an alm. What's an alm? Giving down. Giving to a needy, charitable person. Expecting what back? Nothing back. Not running around telling everybody, hey, I just gave this, I gave that. Now, you can tell if, you know, I'm not saying that you got to be a freak. You know, but what I'm saying is that you're not running around trying to get the glory from men. That's the point. The last type of giving is called seed time and harvest. You'll find that seed time and harvest is a different type of giving because it's giving. You ready? I know. Why don't you get up there? There you go. Right there. Alms is giving down. Let me help you up. Let me help you up. Seed is investing up. So seed is different because seed, you're actually giving up. You're actually giving as an investment. You're actually expecting a return. You've heard old religion says this, well, I just give to the Lord and don't expect anything back. That's stupid. Really, that's stupid. Anybody who says that, you know they don't know the Bible. Because that's not what the Bible says at all. When you tithe, what does God promise to do? Rebuke the devourer and open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot even contain. So when you tithe, you're positioned. When you give an alm, what does he say will happen if you give an alm? That's right. That what you give in secret, the Father rewards you openly. Boom, boom. The next one is totally different. The next one is when you give up, when you invest, you're being specific about the return that you want. Ready? You did so well. Can you give her a hand clap, please? So it is a different type of giving. And this is one that has been twisted and abused in the body of Christ. So I do want to say this. Some of you have been turned off by seed time and harvest, but not in this church. We've always been straight up. We're clear. We're not twisting, contorting. But there are preachers out there. My favorite preacher is this. You ready? He's on TV. Yep. The Lord would say if you sow $1,000 today, hallelujah. Yeah, oh, I'm telling them, yes. If you sow $1,000 today, the Lord will save your child from hell. Oh, yes, send it right now. Send it. I told him. And I know you'll do it. Yep. That kind of guy needs a sledgehammer to the head. In the name of Jesus, of course. That's abuse. But listen, the problem with Americans is we love paradigms. Abuse, so we go the total opposite direction. You cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. You cannot throw the principal out because somebody abused it. It'd be like, you cannot, if you've ever been in a car accident, anybody ever been in a car accident before? Somebody hit you? Yeah. So if you've been in a car accident, so the paradigm would be, we've got to get rid of all the cars. All cars have got to go. Anybody ever hit a deer before or a deer hit you? We got to kill all the deer. That's not a bad thought. Got to kill all the deer. Why? That deer hit my car. See, we go to extremes, and you can't be an extremist when it comes to the kingdom of God because there's always going to be abuse. There are always people that are going to manipulate the scripture to try to get their own selfish gain. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Jude. Jude is very clear about that. He talks about the Cretans, that they're vile people. He speaks very badly of them because they were very bad people. And there are bad people out there. And there are bad people with the name preacher on it. There are bad people out there who have their TV programs. There are bad people who take good God principles and warp them, twist them, contort them to make their own selfish gain. That is always going to happen. It is never going to change. We are never going to change that. They're always going to be there. So you have to know the scripture to know when somebody is being abusive or not. So seed time and harvest is a God principle that was generated. It is a principle of the kingdom. Everybody shout the kingdom. Remember, you are not governed by this earth's principles. You are governed by the kingdom. You and I are citizens of the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a king. Every king has to have a kingdom. Every kingdom has a constitution. Every constitution is developing the laws within the kingdom. And then in every kingdom, you must have citizens. If you do not have citizens, then you have no kingdom because you have nobody in your kingdom that's following your constitution. So every king has a kingdom, and all laws that are there are established. Every king is judged by the quality of life that the king is able to perform for those that are his citizens within his kingdom. So God created certain laws that supersede all other things. This one is called seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 1 verse 12 says this, "And the earth brought forth grass, herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Amen. So the Lord did creation, and what he did was he created seed. Seed is a principle of every one of our lives and every facet of our life. We went through a whole year called the kingdom seed. How many of you remember that whole year of preaching? That your thoughts are seed, that your time is seed, that your words are seed. We can go through every facet of your life is seed time and harvest. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. And we showed how every one of us right now are reaping from the seeds that we have planted in the past. Every one of us. Our lives are seed time and harvest. Every part of our life is seed time and harvest. So we have to completely pay attention to the scripture, because man didn't create this. God created this institution, this universal law that is determining how life reproduces itself, how things reproduce themselves. So life is in the seed. When God created that earth, he planned to create it so that it would reproduce itself. Can you imagine if there was no seed? Every spring, God would have to go out and go, grass. Let there be grass. But let there be trees. He doesn't have to do that because he created the eternal law called seed time and harvest, that every seed in itself, inside it, is life. I think that is just so powerful. And the life is of itself. This is why homosexuality doesn't work. Two boys can't produce. And neither can two chickies. No production. That's why homosexuality doesn't work in the kingdom of God. Not only does God condemn it, because it's against nature, according to Romans chapter 1, but the reason it is against nature is because God created the seed time and harvest principle, where seed is seed time and harvest works within heaven babies. Can I hear an amen? Or am I? All those that are not married say yay. So let's move on. So if you see, if you and I want to see abundance in our lives, we must understand the principle of seed time and harvest. This is very, very, this is what I love about Brother Avanzini. The next time he comes, he'll probably talk about seed time and harvest. And you're all going to sit back and go, oh my goodness. You know, Pastor, why haven't you ever taught us this? Listen, mark this day, I've taught this, 7:42, I've been teaching this principle. You know, but when a teacher comes in with that special anointing, it just kind of opens things up. So here we are, seed time and harvest. The Bible says the whole kingdom is driven by this law. That's found in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. I'm reading this because if not, then we'll never get through it. The kingdom of God is likened to a seed, Mark chapter 4. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and shall sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed shall sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So the kingdom of God is likened under seed time and harvest. So what does that mean? How God's entire kingdom runs. How God's entire kingdom runs. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does God's kingdom come to earth? It all comes through this principle of seed time and harvest. So when we don't understand seed time and harvest, it's just like, remember the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, how can you seek first the kingdom of God if you don't know what the kingdom of God is? If that's what Jesus said we have to seek as our apex, that's what the word means, apex, then if you don't know what the kingdom is, how can you seek the kingdom? And if you don't understand the kingdom, then how can you understand seed? Because seed is the main law within the kingdom. It's how everything reproduces itself. So when you don't understand seed, then you don't understand how reproduction in the kingdom of God works. That's why the Bible says, with your words, the life and death are in the power of your tongue. Why? Because every word that we speak is seed, life or death, and it will bring forth a crop. If you're a negative person, you're going to bring forth a crop, and the crop will always be death. So seed time and harvest are principles that we've got to lay hold of. Now, what is considered seed in the Bible? Here we go. Number one, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So this principle will always go. Here we go. Life of the living, seed it is in itself. plants, corn and sunflowers. What's in every kernel of corn? Life. And it's programmed for life. That's the neat part. God doesn't have to sit back and go, let's program these things, angels. No, he said it's programmed already in itself to produce itself. So every time you put a piece of corn in the ground and in that room in there, if you remember that year of seed time and harvest, kingdom seed, I gave everybody a piece of corn. Terry, can you go get that for me? I gave everybody a piece of corn and I told everybody to go out and plant that corn. Amazingly enough, there was less than 20 people that planted that piece of corn out of the entire congregation. Now, one lady actually brought that back to me. She brought me an ear from the stalk of the corn seed that we gave. And she brought that back, and when Terry comes, I have actually, this is second generation seed. This is from the very first seed that I gave everybody that Sunday. She brought it back to me, and here, right here, is a corn seed. Second generation. If I give you that seed tonight, and you plant that seed, guess what's going to happen? It's over 2 years old. What's going to happen? It's going to grow. Why is it going to grow? Life is in itself. Whether you like it or not, every seed has life pre-programmed in it. God did that. That was God's creation. Seed time and harvest will never end. If I take every one of these seeds and plant them, I'm going to have a crop. So as a believer, what's powerful is we've got to get back to understanding God's principles, and God's principles are wrapped around seed time and harvest. Not just seed time. The devil doesn't mind if you seed as long as you never harvest. Say it one more time. Oral Roberts made a statement. He said one of the greatest failures of the church is that we've planted all this seed but have never harvested the seed. So all of the crops are waiting to be taken, and the church just looks at it and keeps praying. It's time to be harvesters, not just planters. Amen? So animals, all animals are reproduced by a seed. All people are reproduced by a seed. Every girl that is born has enough eggs in her body. They approximate 450,000 seeds in every woman when they're born. When a woman is born, she has all the seeds that she'll ever have. She never reproduces more. All the seeds are always inside her from the beginning of birth. 450,000. That's a lot. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, the word of God is seed. We see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, that Jesus was the seed. God's seed to the earth reaped a harvest of souls. Our words are seed. I already said that in Proverbs 18. Our actions are seed. That's Galatians chapter 6. That whatever you sow, you shall reap. And money is also seed. And that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So money is also seed. So there are three types of giving. We have tithe. Tithe means... We have alms. Alms is giving. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is. What God, what you do privately, God will reward you openly. That is giving down to somebody in need. It's charitable. But then the last one is sowing with purpose. Is giving money with design. Is giving money knowing and expecting a harvest to return to your life. Now, this is the type that many believers do not understand. Because again, we've been taught for all these years, give and don't expect anything back. That's not the mind of God. God did not create earth like that. God did not create harvest like that. Harvest comes because when you take one of these seeds and you plant it, you get... you usually get 2 to 3 corn cobs with about 800 kernels on each one of them, 16 rows. So for every one piece of corn, every one piece of life that you plant, you'll have 30, 60, 100 fold. And every every single kernel of corn will produce far more than a hundredfold. Now, the word hundredfold doesn't actually mean 100 times. It actually means a full abundance of what the production could be. So seed time and harvest is something that we have got to lay hold of. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So it's not in our hands, this is not in God's hands. Some people say, well, you know, God blessed them more than he blessed this one. God loves this one more than he loves it. No, we determine what we reap. We are the ones who determine. This is very important. Now, my wife and I live this principle. We don't have a choice. We live this principle. Living the principle of seed time and harvest is so important in your life. And I challenge you, if you're a tither, and you should all be tithers, that's what opens the windows of heaven. When you start seeding with understanding, it opens up opportunity for God to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. The Bible makes it clear, we already read the verse once, it's 2 Corinthians 9, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now I want to throw a little bit in this because you need to understand that has nothing to do with amounts. That's nothing to do with amounts. Because somebody can give $2 and it can be their last $2. Man, that's everything to them. Someone can give $10,000 and it means nothing to them. It could be like a drop of rain in the bucket. So it's not about amounts. It's about obedience. And it's about what you want in a harvest for your life. I remember one time, I was at a conference, and the preacher stood up and he said, everybody that sows, I think it was $120, I'm going to give a special prayer for. Well, I didn't have $120. Does that mean I don't get blessed? I had $45 left to my name. I walked down front, gave my $45. Did I get a prayer? No. But I don't need him to bless me. My seed isn't going to him. My seed isn't going to the church. My seed is going to God. And when I plant, now for me, that was abundance. That was a bountiful. That was a massive amount. That was everything that I had. And so when I gave that, I expected a bountiful, I expected an abundant harvest. And man, I tell you, when we left that place, we had harvest in our life. When we went back to our home church, God poured out his spirit in a way that we had never seen, and it went on for a year and a half, and God blessed us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. So sowing is investing. I've never seen somebody sow into something they expected to fail. Oh, please, let me throw my money away. No. When you're a sower, you're sowing expecting that you're going to have a harvest. And that's the word of the Lord. So here we go. That's found in Philippians chapter 4, 15 through 19. And you Philippians yourself well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me and opened a debit and credit account. I love this. Just like God saw Cornelius's alms, God sees and opens a debit and credit account for you in heaven when you sow. That is not figurative. That is not made up in the head. That is right there in the word. God opens a debit and credit account, which means this. If you invest nothing, you get nothing. What you sow, you shall reap. 30, 60, 100 fold. So when you give nothing, when you sow nothing, well, pastor, I gave my tithe. Tithe is beautiful. Tithe opens the windows of heaven. God will pour forth a blessing. God will rebuke the devourer. But when you understand seed, it changes everything because that's where you start seeing abundance come in. That's when you start seeing a harvest come in. You don't see a harvest when you tithe. How can you see a harvest when you tithe when you're just giving back to somebody? Here's my example. Do you make good pies? Do you? What's your favorite pie to make?
Apple.
You make apple pie? Do you like the crispy stuff on top? No, do you just make regular apple pie? So, you know, can I have one? Awesome, thank you. So she's going to make me a pie. You can't have any. I want it hot, please. I'll bring the ice cream. So watch now. She's going to make me a pie. Now, you know there are different types of pie plates and pie tins. So, you know, if you really want to be cheap, you go and you get one of those little pie tins. You know, you buy, and if you're really cheap, you bop the dough that slides into them. So all of a sudden, you know, everyone thinks tithing is like going to do everything for their life. Tithing opens that opportunity. So all of a sudden, you make me a pie, but you don't bring it to me in that little tin thing. You bring me your pie plate, your Pyrex, a nice one. It's purdy. It's got that pie, you know, and it's got the, you know, you've got the fringe all beautiful and little designs in the middle, and it's hot, and you put the vanilla ice cream on top, and to God be the glory. And you look at me and say, listen, when you're done, just give me the pie plate back. But I keep the pie plate. Whose turn is it to make the pie? No. So watch. She makes me a pie. She blesses me. She puts it in her beautiful Pyrex glass plate, hands it to me, and says, I just want the plate back when you're done, and I'll make you another pie when you give me the plate back. But I say, I'm not giving you the plate back. It's my plate now. Whose turn to make the pie? Listen. When you don't tithe, whose turn to make the pie? That's why tithing is so powerful. Whose plate is it? It's God's plate. Seed is different. Seed is yours. It's your pocket. It's your money. Tithe is not ours. That's the Lord's. Tithe is holy to God. But the seed is yours. Brother Avanzini came here on Sunday, and before he left, I know he is good ground. And I said, because he didn't receive an offering here at the church. He did that on purpose because he didn't want people to feel like they were being manipulated about tithing. He wanted to make sure that no one thought that he was trying to take advantage of them, so he never received an offering. Now, I want you to understand what that means is in this house, he would have walked out with $15,000 to $20,000. And he said, you know, Pastor, I'll just take my expenses and just a little bit. And he did it for a menial amount because he doesn't want to get the people of God confused. And so, but I knew he's good ground. So I always strive to carry a $100 bill in my wallet, just emergency fund. And I remember when my wife and I were first married, I had $5 a week. That was my allowance. So I would have $5 in my pocket. But I always keep $100. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, take the $100 out and sow it into him. Do you know what that means to him? Nothing. I mean, what's $100 to him? Listen, he has given away $100,000 watches. He has a spiritual son. And somebody sewed a $100,000 watch to him when he was in Asia a while back ago. And then so another person walked up and gave him a Rolex. And so he walked over and he sold those into one of his spiritual sons who turned around and sold them. And so he gave him another Rolex and said, you can't sell this one. See, he doesn't need my $100. But it has nothing to do with him needing. It has to do with he's good ground. I'm sowing. Listen, do you want to sow into success or sow into failure? I'm going to sow into success. And I know that $100. I know what I'm believing God for, and I know I'll get it. How do I know that? Because that's been my whole life. Seed time and harvest has been my whole life. That's why I can stand here today. You know, people think, oh, you know, you make large amounts of money and stuff like that. No, we're just really good with our money, number one. But number two, we're sowers. We sow every single week. We sow every single week. Why do we sow every week? Because just like you have a regular harvest, how many harvests can you get of corn a year? Two? One? One. One. I don't want 1 year. I want one every quarter. So I'm sowing daily. We're sowing constantly. Because I want a perpetual harvest. Perpetual harvest can only come with a perpetual seed. So when you understand this principle, it's not about getting money out of you. It's about getting money to you. There's this man that Kenneth Hagin talks about. He started learning this process. He was on welfare, and God laid on his heart a business to start. He scrimped and scraped and started the business. And this was his desire. Father, my goal is to tithe 90% and live off the 10. Before he died, he was living off of 10% of his income, and he was a multi-millionaire, and he gave 90% to the kingdom of God. Evander Holyfield, I just met him this year. Shook his hand, got pictures with him, chatted with him. He was down at the Bishop's Church. The man started, the reason that man got where he was is because some woman gave an alms to him to get him into the YMCA, to learn boxing. Some lady gave a quarter every time he came. And a quarter back then was expensive. And the last he said, he has tithed over $45 million in the kingdom of God. That wasn't talking about how much he's sown. He said, when I speak, and that night he spoke at the Bishop's Church, Bishop tried to give him money and he laughed at him. Because he was going the next night to speak just once and he was making $150,000. Just to speak 1 hour. See, these principles are God's principles. They're not man's principles. Well, you know, the church, we got to do it. It's nothing to do with the church, man. This is all about the kingdom. This is all about how the kingdom of God is like seed time and harvest. Every seed is programmed to produce itself. Every seed always produces more than in and of itself has in itself. It's created to do that. You don't have to wonder if it's going to work. It's always going to work. Why? Because God made it work. God spoke it. And that's how it always works. Seed time and harvest. It always works. A farmer. We have a farmer. If you take 1 acre of corn and plant it, you're not getting 10 acres of harvest. You understand that? He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. If you plant 1 acre of corn, you are not getting 10 acres of corn in return. You're getting 1 acre. This is why the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, purpose in your own heart what you want to receive. This is not God doing this. This is us doing this. And this is why this teaching has been it's so sad to me, because what it does is it steals from the body of Christ. See, when you don't teach this, you're stealing from the body of Christ. When you don't teach tithing, you steal from the body of Christ. Shambach was down in Mexico one time, and he was getting ready to receive an offering, and the pastor says, you can't do that. These people are poor. He says, you're telling me you don't do tithes and offerings and seed? He says, no, they're poor. And he says, you're a thief. How dare you keep the people of God poor? How dare you keep them in a place of poverty? Because God's principles always work no matter where you are in the entire world. God will always prosper you. God will always open the windows of heaven. God will always give you favor when you obey his word. It doesn't matter where you're from. It matters that you obey God. And when you understand this principle, man, it is far more than just, well, you know, I guess I got to give $1.50, you know. Listen, I get excited when it's time to give. My wife and I get excited when it's time to give. And if I showed you our bank account and how much we give a year, it is over 20% of our income. And we do that for one simple reason, actually. Over 20% of our income. Why do we do that? Because I live really good. I get whatever I want. No, I do. I get whatever I want. I am believing for a Rolex. I've sold like 4 watches. I will get a Rolex. God will give me a Rolex. I'm excited about it. I've already picked it out. It's going to be. Why do I want the Rolex? You know, it is a tremendous. In fact, you know what wealthy people do is they buy all of their children Rolexes because that's one thing that never goes down in price. It is it always goes higher. It is a really good investment.
I'm asking for an Apple Watch.
You want an Apple Watch?
Whoa.
Yep, I'm serious. I just got to reprogram it for you. So here we go. Seed time and harvest works. What's that? I only have one. Listen, I'm not going to go up to him after and go, can I have that back? No, because I understand. When you understand and you're sowing, you're understanding that you're going to reap. When you understand that you're sowing, you're understanding that you're going to harvest. And if you plant 1 acre of corn, you can't expect 10 back. And if you plant corn, you can't expect peas. Every farmer, when he plants with understanding. This is what I'm planting for. I'm planting for peas. I'm planting for my children to be saved. I'm planting for a new house. I'm planting for more money so that I can give more money. I'm planting so my business increases. I'm planting so that I'll have more passion. Whatever you plant for, the harvest has to come in that area because you don't plant corn and expect broccoli. You plant what you plant and expect what you expect because that's what you're planting for. When you understand that, offering time changes. It's like, yes, it is time. Now, what kind of stinks is my wife, we give our tithe, we do it automatically for the bank. I mean, that kind of really stinks because we don't get to make the walk down unless we're sowing. And, you know, we sow every week, but she gets to bring it down and not me, which isn't really fair. So, but I love the fact of coming down, and the reason we have you bring it to the to the Lord is because we want you to bring it freely. And the Bible says that he wants you to do it out of liberality, but not just that, out of a cheerful heart. And when you give, when you understand this principle of giving, man, you can't wait to give because you understand what it's going to produce. You can't outgive God. God will never be a debtor to you, ever, 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 ever. He will never be indebted to his people. And if you invoke his principles are programmed to work whether people like it or not. Amen. Here we go. I'm almost done. An important clarification. This is not about as much how much in the sense of amounts, but relative. Mark, and you heard me talk about this verse earlier. And he looked up and saw a rich man putting his gifts in the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor woman putting in 2 mites. And he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put more in than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in their offering for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. So it's all about obedience to the Lord. That's why you always hear when we're sowing. So I just want to clarify. When I stand, we have a guest, and I say, we're going to sow towards this person. Then I always say this. We're not going to give you an amount. You just pray and ask the Holy Spirit what he wants you to give. Because God's Spirit will always speak to you. And because he knows what kind of harvest you need and what kind of harvest you want. And you make that decision. Yes, also, you always get 2 numbers, by the way, a low one and a high one. Always choose the high one. And when you sow, you don't just go, well, yep, I just dropped my last 50. Well, you know, I just dropped my last 100. Well, I just gave my last $3. No, no. God will not be indebted to you. And when you sow that, you'd make that declaration. Father, this is what I'm believing for. I'm planting peas today. I'm thanking you that before I get out of this building, God's going to bless me. But I thank you also, and we have testimonies. We got some really cool testimonies coming up in the next few weeks of people that have sowed out of their need. So I remember this one time, the Bible says that God provides seed to the sower. That's in the same verse. And so that takes all the stress off, doesn't it? God provides seed to the sower. One time I wanted to give to this pastor, and I didn't have any money. So I prayed that morning. I said, Lord, and this is on the next page if you want to turn there to page 12, the example. I said, Lord, I was on my way to church, and I said, Lord, I want to give $100 to this pastor. He's been good to me. I just want to sow into his life. He's a good man of God. Well, I didn't have $100. But God provides seed to the sower. So I asked and I said, God, you have the money somewhere. I need that $100 so I can sow that $100. I walked into church that morning. Somebody walked up to me and said, hi, Pastor Spencer. I was an evangelist. Hi, Brother Spencer. How are you? And he went like this. It's called a Pentecostal handshake. How many ever heard of one of those? Holy Ghost handshake. It's where you put your money in your hand and you shake their hand and you slide it. You slide the money into their fingers. That's called a Pentecostal handshake or a Holy Ghost handshake or whatever you want to call it. So anyways, someone shook my hand and it was, I you know, you don't just go, well, what is this? So I went to the bathroom and it was a $100 check. I flipped it over and said, pay to the order of Pastor so-and-so. And I walked over and I said, brother, I love you. Have a great day. Gave him the handshake and passed $100. God provided seed to the sower. He always provides seed to the sower. Bishop was just telling a story about a young boy. When they were doing this last building program, they asked everyone to sow a minimum of $1,000. And this little boy, I think he was like 7 or 8 years old, said, I want to sow $1,000. He told his parents that. And he filled out the declaration, I'm going to sow $1,000. And he walked up and handed it to the bishop. And the bishop said, well, praise the Lord, brother. We'll believe with you. God provides seed to the sower. The bishop said that little boy went around the neighborhood and said, can I help you do anything around your house? Can I rake your lawn? Can I do this? He was doing little odd jobs all over the place. And he said within 2 months, that little child gave $1,000 to the building fund of the kingdom. God provides seed to the sower. I love that factor, don't you? God is so good. I remember one time we had a special guest in our church. And he stood up and gave a challenge. He said, you know, if the Holy Spirit is challenging you, is speaking to your heart, I'd like you to give $300. I'd like you to sow $300. Well, I knew we didn't have $300. And I said, in my spirit, I just felt, you know, I felt that urgency to give. And I said, okay, we're going to sow. I looked at Ron and I said, we're going to sow $300. She goes, we don't have $300. I said, God's going to provide seed to the sower. We're not writing any rubber checks either. You know, God's going to provide seed to the sower. So we walked up front, we wrote the check, and I spoke to our treasurer and said, we'll get that for you. You know, don't bounce any checks. We're not playing rubber games here. And my wife went home that night and just went over the checkbook because, you know, if you knew her, she's very anal when it comes to the checkbook. And she started going through the check, and she found where she had forgotten to do a deposit of $300. God provides seed to the sower. I challenge you to be a sower. This is what every farmer has to do. You ready? They got to know the seed. And bring my wallet. Got to know the seed. What are you planting? Is it $20, $50, $100, $5,000, $1,655? Oh, really cool testimony. There was a pastor up in, Tiff was just telling me this testimony. There was a pastor up in northern Alaska, and he preached a revival there. And while he's preaching the revival there, I think it was 96 or 97-year-old man gave his heart to Jesus. Isn't that cool, eh? First time the guy ever gave his heart to the Lord. He and his wife, she was in her 90s too. So, you know, this guy really had a radical God experience, a God change. And so he walks out and he sees the pastor has a vision to build a new building and to expand to reach more people for Jesus. And so the man went home and made a phone call to the preacher. And he said, Pastor, I just want you to know that my wife and I have been changed by the power of God. We're truly, you know, my life is, I just really felt Jesus. And I want to give to the church. And he says, you know, I hope you don't mind, but I see that you have a vision here. I'd love to give you $1,000,000. Will that be okay? And the pastor said, you know, yeah, that'll be all right. And then he went on to say, well, you know, I am old. And he said, my wife is too. And we just want to let you know that when we die, we're going to give the church $18 million, one third. And I said, and the guy said, I mean, what do you say? You know what I mean? That funds the entire vision. Listen, it's so powerful when you recognize the principles. Money, let's be honest, the money that we have isn't even worth the money the paper is written on. I mean, honestly, all it is paper. You don't have gold, you don't have silver. And there is no more gold and silver in Fort Knox to back up the paper that we print. It's just a way of trade. And our world is run by money. And that's why God spoke more about money than he did about anything else in the scripture. Whether you like it or not, Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven, hell, or even salvation. We also know that it is stronger than Lucifer, because you can't serve both God and mammon, which means money. So that's why God set these things in order, so that his principles will run in your life. Number one, know your seed. Number two, choose your ground. Make sure it's good ground. You don't want to give to somebody you don't want to give to a ministry or a minister that is not producing the fruit of God. If their ground is bad, don't sow there. Number three, prepare the ground. That means pray over it. It means making sure that you're a tither. Plant the seed. That means give. And then oversee it by protecting. What does that mean? That means speak over your seed. Start declaring over your seed what you're believing for, and you'll see that the enemy will not be able to come and steal your seed, like it says in Matthew 13. Then work the seed. That means pray, water it, and then expect a harvest, even in times of passing. So I'm going to end with this. You ready? Because I've gone late. We were leaving up the driveway this week, and this is what Brother Avanzini said. Dead stocks. So, of course, we stop because that means nothing to me. Dead stocks. He says, you know, your seed has to look dead before you can get a harvest. And he says the reason the stocks die like that is because many times when the seed comes to fullness, if it was green, it wouldn't be able to house or hold the whole entirety of weight. He said wheat does the same thing. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
So your seed has to look dead before it produces your harvest. So all of that over here all looks dead. But actually, it's all full of life. Because every seed is full of life, even if it looks dead. I just had to ponder that one, because that is good. Yes.
I was just thinking about the scripture. It's like you don't see something, but you see the vision.
Don't look at the things which you can see, for they're temporary, but look at the things which you cannot see, for they're eternal.
No, I'm explaining about walking by faith.
Walk by faith and not by sight?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 10.
Okay.
Here it is. Ready?
Yeah.
No matter what the seed looks like, you will reap a harvest from it. Good or bad. Watch the words of your mouth. Remember, you're only judged for two things. What is it? Words and your works. Seed, your life, and your words. Everything is about seed time and harvest, everybody. Please pay attention. You know, I know people get angry and have gotten angry about us taking seed. Well, you know what? I would be a horrible pastor to you if I didn't receive seed in this house. I would be a horrible pastor if we didn't allow you to sow into ministry, to sow into people. It would be a horrible, catastrophic event where you would not have a harvest available for you. And as your pastor, we don't preach part gospel, we preach the whole gospel here. And that means not just salvation, that you can go to heaven, which, by the way, Jesus being the seed to bring forth your harvest, which is your life. But the greatest part is that even in your life, you can be blessed in your finances. And I don't know about you, how many wouldn't mind a little bit more? If you don't want a little bit more, then whatever more you get, then give it on Sunday. Yeah, I thought you'd change your mind. When your boss offers you a raise, tell him, no, thank you. I have all that I want. Yeah, I didn't think so either. Everyone who says they don't believe in prosperity is a liar from hell. Every one of them is a liar from hell. Well, I don't believe in prosperity. You're a liar. Because everyone wants to prosper in every area of our life. We want to prosper in our health, our wealth, our family, our relationships. Amen? So does anybody have any question concerning seed time and harvest? I love that chapter. Yes. Usually the people that go to Florida, they'll always ship their tithe home because it's the storehouse. It's your home church. Because that's where the vision is. Remember, you cannot have two visions or it's division. There's only one vision. And so when you're a part of a church, the factor is that's where the vision, your heart is attached to, and that's where you're running the race to win. Great question. So we do have snowbirds, and they always send their tithe home. They'll seed to the church they go to, usually in Florida. So we have one snowbird who will always seed to that church, but they always tithe home. Great question. Anybody else? Yes.
Mm-hmm. The harvest hasn't come in yet, but you're speaking forth and you know it's a big thing you're claiming.
Right.
Does it take longer?
Yeah, well, remember with I'm trying to find him. Hold on. I lost him. God promised him a son and it took 20 years. Not that it's always going to take 20 years, but I've had times when I've sown for specific things and it's been 3 or 4 years. So don't lose hope. The seed can't fail. Right, exactly. So it's there. It has to produce. It doesn't have a choice to produce. Doesn't have a choice. Yes. Anybody else? Yes.
It's like the same thing when you were saying, like, on a seed time and harvest. If you keep digging up our seed, then it'll never harvest.
Exactly. Don't plant your seed and dig it back up. Plant it and speak over it. Amen? So this is a great way to do it. If you're going to plant seed, get a piece of paper. Write down what you planted. Write down what you're believing. Write the date you did it. And start speaking over it. Father, I thank you. Not, well, God, I hope it works. God, I thank you, Lord, because the seed always has to work. I thank you that your word will not return void. I thank you that your principles are yea and amen. And I call in that seed in the name of Jesus. Listen, I've been calling in seed in this house for years. And you know what? You're sitting in seeds, excuse me, you're sitting in the harvest that people already planted as seeds. People, before you ever came into this building, planted thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars so that you could sit here today. You and I are participating with a harvest of somebody else's seed. Any more questions? Questions are good, especially when it comes to this topic. I know it's late, but you'll be all right. Anybody else? Anybody good? Yes. I'm always planting seeds. In fact, I challenge everybody every day to plant a seed. Now remember, planting a seed is not alms. So, yeah, that's good. So what you can do is you can take 25 cents a day. If that's all you got is 25 cents a day, sow 25 cents a day. Start sowing a seed every day. Save it up. Deliver it on Sunday. When you put it in, it's not your tithe, it's your seed. Father, we have seed envelopes. Father, I sow this seed for this purpose. Sowing it for this reason. Lord, you know I need a raise in Jesus' name. Lord, you know I need favor in Jesus' name. You know my kids are not saved in Jesus' name. And you sow. You know, if you start teaching your children especially, we teach our children this. When our kids were young, I know I've said this before, I'm so sorry for going long, but man, this is such a powerful topic. And if you need to go, please, no offense is taken if you get up and leave. Cody and Chad wanted to go to the zoo and Cody wanted a bass guitar. And they were 7 and 8 years old. So they're saving money, saving money, saving money, saving money. They had over $100 saved up. And they were going to go, it was like in the spring, and they were going to go do that in the summer. And we were doing a building program down at the other building. We needed $8,000 to renovate, what's that square called? It's called, in Consumer Square. What was the name? Brown's Pharmacy. So we needed, yeah, you remember. We needed to renovate Brown's Pharmacy. It was going to cost $8,000. Cody and Chad got together and they came in and they sowed their $100. They said, Daddy, we know that if we sow, we'll get what we're believing for. I mean, just babies, but we taught them this from the beginning. Amen. Some guy came up to us. We didn't tell anybody. Some guy came up to us and says, you mind if I take your kids to the zoo up in Syracuse? No, that's cool. Go ahead, have fun. I went and was preaching up in Utica, New York. Chad always wanted a drum set. This wasn't even on his seed list. Always wanted a drum set. The pastor walks up to me after service and says, man, we got 3 drum sets in this church. Can you fit one in your truck and take it home? Yeah, I could do that. And then my wife and I got our taxes back around that time, and it was enough to buy Cody a bass guitar. Those kids, how do I say this nice? They're some of the largest givers in this church, my 2 boys. Some of the largest givers. They love to sew. When we go to like Brother Ted's, I beg them to leave their checkbook home because I know it's an empty bank when they come home. Because they love to sew. My kids love to sew. My kids love to sew. They both own a house. They both bought a house. Cody bought a house at 19 years old. Chad bought his house when he came back from Africa. Before he came back from Africa, the house was already purchased. So. It works. It's God's principles. Yay and amen. Amen? Yes. Well, remember, on helping somebody is an alm. Seed is up. No, seed is different things. But you want to, it depends on, I always say this, what is the hardest thing to peel out of somebody's fingers is usually money. So if you got nothing else, give a penny. I mean, it's not amounts. And sometimes you got to give a sacrificial seed. If it doesn't hurt, then you haven't done anything special. Sometimes you got to give sacrificially. You know, that $300 was a sacrificial offering to the Lord. My wife and I have given many sacrificial offerings. It hurt. It meant we couldn't do some things we wanted to do. We've sowed vacations. We've sowed things. We've sowed those things. Why? Because seed time and harvest. And sometimes you got to give an offering. I love what David said. David the king needed to bury somebody. And a guy came up and said, listen, I'll give you this land. And he said, I won't even say it. Ultimately, the principle is this. David would not give God something he got for free because it cost him nothing. Sometimes you got to give sacrificially to break through. Sometimes you got to break through and you just give sacrificially. And that's the power. I remember once, I'll end with this. I said that twice, right? So this is my 3rd time. I'm good. I went down to Brother Ted's camp meeting and I had $400. I had $500 in my wallet because I had a Harley part that I had been saving for 6 months. And I was going to go home and buy that part. So here I am. I'm on the front row of the thing and the preacher gives opportunity to seed and the Holy Spirit says to me, give it all. And I said, no stinking way. That is my Harley part. What is wrong with you, God? And so I took out $300 and I put it in the offering. I went back and sat in my seat and it was just like, it was not even an offering plate up there. I walked up during the middle of this preaching because I was so irritated and I just threw it on the altar. I wasn't a cheerful giver, but it was a sacrifice of love. But what he was teaching me, I can get that Harley part for you if you'll sow. 2 weeks later, took me 6 months to save. 2 weeks later, I'd sold enough books to buy that Harley part. It's just God. It works. So don't be afraid of when pastors talk about money. Be happy. It should make you excited because it's God posturing you for prosperity, not for poverty. I'll end with this. I went over my quota. Ready? Hold on. 10 seconds. This is the one thing he said this weekend that made the most impact to me. He said, if it was God's will to live in poverty, then why didn't he make it one of his blessings for the obedient?